I've had a lot of heroes in my life as I was growing up. Most of them were sports heroes or superheroes. And no, I'm not going into a superhero message, Zach. But I grew up collecting comic books and always imagined me being the hero. And then when I went to sports, I would go out in the backyard and I would practice that last second 30-foot jump shot to win the game, to win the world championship. And then I had lots of folks that in the sports world that I admired and were my hero. But I will tell you, I actually got to meet one of my heroes one time. And we had taken a trip to Las Vegas when we just got married, and we went to see a show. And Bob Denver. Anybody know who Bob Denver is? Come on. You know who Bob Denver is? Hold on a second. Let me turn this up. I'm sure I'll be able to walk around a little bit. You might recognize him as Gilligan. He was my hero, and he put on a stage play. And because Terry's dad and him went to the same school, we was able to go backstage and meet him. It was a great day. He was my hero. You need to set your standards a little bit higher, right? But we all have those folks. But you know, I used to really admire Bill Cosby. But look what happened. What I have found out in life, that even our heroes are not perfect. They're not the role models that we should have in life, even the best of them. And so today, we'll be talking about heroes. Now, the closest thing that I can come to a hero today would be someone who went on the battlefield for you and I and gave their life. I can't imagine someone being more heroic than that. But there are all kinds of different... But I'll tell you something. Some of these heroes of our youth today, they don't have any reason in the world to be heroes. There shouldn't be any reason to mock or emulate some of these folks. And I won't go down the list because I don't even want to begin to... But I'll tell you, a hero is a misused term today. So what is a hero? What is a real hero? Well... That's a start. But what's a true hero, not in our eyes, but a true hero in God's eyes? What does God look down and say, that was something? When you read Hebrews chapter 11, I encourage you to do that sometime this week. Just read Hebrews chapter 11 on your own. It's called the Hall of Faith. And it says, what a great cloud of heroic witnesses that have gone on before us. And truly, anyone who's given their life for God, I would consider a hero. Same thing goes for serving your country. Many have died that we might live, and may we never forget that. But here's the thing that you don't realize as much. All this time, when I was growing up, that I was wanting to be a hero. I was wanting to be a superhero. And every once in a while, I glance down and I say, you know, if I just focus enough, maybe I can shoot fire from my hands. It doesn't ever work, but I think about it. But what if I could be a hero? What if I always thought about saving the world or hitting that last second shot or hitting that home run. But I came to realize that that wasn't going to be my lot in life. But you guess what? If I understood right, if I did the right things, I could still be a hero of God. Everyone can be a hero. You can be one of God's heroes. And this morning I'd like to share with you about what it would take for you to be a true hero, a Christian hero. Not a Christian. A Christian hero is not some sort of Superman endowed with some mystical abilities and talents. A hero is not someone who sings very well and makes a professional career out of it and has two billion followers on their Twitter account. None of that matters compared to being a hero for Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 20 through 21. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory and the church by Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Notice something here. Who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do more than we think that we can do because of through us, He can do it. More than we can think. The first thing that I want us to look at this morning, how we can be a hero in God, with God, is belief in God's Word. Today, many people look up to sports stars and athletes, movie stars, musicians as their heroes. They are seen as heroes in many ways because they can do things that most of us can't do. I watched a basketball game last night and I'm going, how in the world can a person do what they do? And a little envy hit me. But God's heroes, the heroes of the Bible, when you look at chapter 11 of Hebrews, you'll find that these people did not have special abilities. They weren't better than everyone else. As a matter of fact, they all had their set of extraordinary problems and issues. But the thing that does combine all of it, put all this together, and the reason why they were heroes was because of their extraordinary faith. You see, God doesn't call the equipped, but He equips the called. Other words, you may think, I'm a nobody, I have no special talents, I can't do these things that other people do, and you say, so I'm no good to God. But that's just the wrong way of looking at it. If God is calling you to do a marvelous, magnificent thing in His work, guess what? He will equip you to do it. And I've got news for you. If He's not calling you to do something great in His work, you better check and make sure that He's called you the first time. Because I believe He's calling every single one of us to something greater than what we are today. And there's no excuses. In 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29, He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame to the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." He said, now I think I figured out why He called me into ministry, because I'm weak and foolish and all this other stuff. There is no reason in the world for me to be here. Stop shaking your head, Zach. When I was a young man, the thought of me stepping up in front of someone and even talking would have just crushed me. That ain't happening. But God equipped me. I did not have natural talents and say, you know what, I think I could be a really good preacher. I think I could be do this. I didn't grow up. No, I'm thinking, ain't no way. But God equipped me, and He'll do the same for you. He does not call the mighty. He does not call the strong. He does not call the wise. He wants those who are not. Can he? Sure, he can. The heroes of the Bible all took God at his word. Look what it says about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider it his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What was this all about? He's 100 years old and God says, you're going to have a baby. Sarah's 90 years old. She's going to have a kid. And Sarah laughed. But Abraham believed in faith. He says, well, if God says it, it's going to happen. And he believed. That's heroic. Believing something as ludicrous as that, but it came from God, so he believed it. And gave God the honor and glory before it even happened. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can do all these wonderful things. You can be the best speaker. You can sing the best. You can teach the best classes. You can do all of these wonderful things. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Period. In Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to know how do I get faith? Well, hear the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Not just say, okay, that's fine. Well, I just heard you read that scripture. But actually believing it, trusting in it. Certainly God can use a man of great intellect, but only as long as his faith is greater than his intellect. Of course, most would say, I believe in God's word. If I took a poll in here, everybody's going to raise their hand and say, I believe in God's word, okay? But how about those commands that we aren't obeying? How about the parts of God's word that we are ignoring? How about that passage you've rationalized that you, so yeah, it doesn't really apply to me? Or me and God has got this deal. Maybe reading your Bibles kind of went, you know, maybe you broke the habit of not reading your Bible, not studying it. So if you've done that, or not doing that rather, if you're not reading and studying your Bible, can you actually say that you're a person of the Word? Are you truly one of God's heroes? The point is, we should be. And we can be. Now, will we be? Will we take God's word, know it, study it, apply it to our hearts and our lives, believe it with all of our hearts and our souls, not wavering? When God says he'll never leave me nor forsake me, guess what that means? That means when times and troubles of this life come upon me, that I'm going to trust in him and not in myself. That I'll quit the worrying and the complaining and all that, and I'll just give it to him and say, Lord, you got this. I'm going to let you take care of it. So we need, in order to be the hero that this world needs, we need to have belief in God's word. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than just believing. It's got to be having some commitment to God's will. Knowing what God wants for your life and being committed to that. In Hebrews chapter 11, once again, verses 13 through 14, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." That they seek a homeland. Someone said, a hero is someone who is sincere and does his duty. He is a man who really stands up and is counted. You do your duty. You do what you're supposed to do in life. As sacrifice. In Joshua 24:15, it says this, "And it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It doesn't take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men. Men who are set apart, where God set them apart. And you know what you've got to do when God sets you apart for a task and He's going to enable you? You've got to say, "Lord, I'm going to see this through to the end. I am going to continue. And I'm going to make this decision. I am going to be committed to this." In Joshua's case, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and not the other side." I think there's too many times in our hearts and our lives and in our families that those loyalties are divided. We're trying to serve man. We're trying to serve money. We're trying to serve all sorts of different things. But the bottom line is, once you commit to serving God, you are committed to that. We have to be committed to His will. Even at sacrificing some things in our lives that are pleasurable. Christ sacrificed. In Matthew 26:39, it says, "He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me.'" But then he says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will." It's not about me, but what do you want? How do you want me to live my life, Lord? Not, "Lord, this is how I'm living my life. You better bless it. You have to deal with it, because this part of my life, I'm doing it this way. I'm living it this way." The Holy Spirit chooses the nobodies of the church and makes them somebodies when they are committed to God's will in their lives. You want to be a somebody in God's work? You want to be a hero in God's work? Then all you need to do is be committed to God's will, saying, "Not my will, but thy will." The most powerful weapon on the earth is the human soul on fire for God. It's been proven over and over again that those who sell out for God, those who allow God's Spirit to rule and reign in their lives, and that they will take, instead of going their own way but follow God, it's the most powerful weapon. And it doesn't matter if you're the lowliest person in here, that you can barely put two words together. It doesn't matter that you have absolutely no talents, or according to you, no talents. God will enable what He wants for your life. We are to be consecrated, or separated to the will of God, to be and to do whatever it is that He requires. Psalms 37:5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." James S. Hewitt said this, "Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I will shake the world. I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen, and such alone will overthrow the kingdom of Satan and build up the kingdom of God on earth. 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. Want to be a hero? You need to turn to God. Not on your own talents, not on your own devices, not on your own will, but let God enable you to move and shake the people around you through His Holy Spirit. So are you committed to God's will? Not only committed to following where He leads, but where He has already led? It's one thing to pray about a big decision and do God's will. All right? The big stuff, we might go to God and say, hey, yeah, I'm going to pray about this, and you actually do. But it's another thing to make sure you're doing on an everyday basis what is black and white that He has already commanded you to do. It's not about the new stuff as much as it's about what He's already told you to do in your life. So are you one of God's heroes? Are you committed, sold out to the Holy Spirit and His leading in your life? We should be. We can be. Now will we be? The last thing I see here is devotion to God, to God's work. A devotion to God's work. In James 2, 18 through 22, it says, but someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Teddy Roosevelt said, I am only an average man, but I work harder at it than the average man. I'm average, but I just work hard. You see, heroism, being a hero, is actually faith transformed into action. Doing what your faith knows it to be true. For instance, in Matthew 23:11, it says, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. It's not about being great. It's not about being popular. It's not about being famous. It's not about having superhero powers or being able to shoot a basketball. It's not about hitting a baseball. It's about your faith transforming into action. God looks down and says, yeah, that's good stuff. And the people around you will look at you and say, wow, I can see God's work in that. There is a Norwegian proverb that says, out of all the definitions of hero that I found, I love this one the best. A hero is one who knows how to hang on 1 minute longer. A hero is the person who knows how to hang on 1 minute longer. The hero is one who does not quit, that just keeps on going. You know, when I read this, and if you read the blog, you'll catch a little piece of this, but a piece of this in 12:1. that we're the witnesses around, and how they're, you know, it talks about the witnesses, the cloud of witnesses. Well, I always think of me running the marathon, and I'm about to give up, and there I see that finish line way down there, but all these folks at that finish line are hollering at me, "Come on, you can do it!" And I mean, that whole list on chapter 11, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, a whole list, David, all of those folks are down there, "Come on, I've been here, I crossed it." And then I look at the people I've lost in my life, and I'm thinking, man, they're at that finish line too. They're going, "Now listen, if I can do this, you can too. All you got to do," you know what he's also said to, they're also telling me? "Get rid of that sin weight. Trust God. You don't need all this junk that you're carrying. Just trust God. Make your load lighter. Make it easier. And then just take one step in front of the other. Do it like you're eating an elephant, one bite at a time. Just keep going. Persevere." In Christ's service, the heroes are those who work until Christ says, "It's time to stop." Not you. There are way too many Christians today who have said, "I've done my service, I've done my time, and now it's my time to coast into the finish line." No, that's not it. We are to work. And we are to labor. Because God's got a purpose for us. You say, "Well, there's not anything I can do." You know what? He can enable you to be the greatest prayer warrior of all time. If that's all you can do. As long as you're breathing, God's going to enable you to do His work. Back to Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. You see that. Would you go back to verse 1, please? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Now to who? That's not it. Never mind. "Wherefore, seeing we have also compassed about such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which thus easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Do you know who else is at that finish line? Do you know the reason why we have incentive to make it there and to keep going, to keep, you know, and to put up with all this stuff in this world and just keep our eyes focused? Is because at that line, Christ is going to be there. He is going to welcome us. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him endured the cross." You want to look at someone as an example? You want to look at someone who was truly heroic? He knew the day before He went to the cross what was going to happen. He knew. And that's the reason why He prayed, "Lord, whatever it is, Your will be done." He knew what was going, His body was going to have to suffer and endure. And He knew that He was going to be mocked and spit upon. He knew all of these things. He also knew He could have called 10,000 legions of angels to pull Him out of it. He had an out. He didn't have to do it. He could have taken the easy route at our expense. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son to do what? To die for us. He is the ultimate example of the hero, putting aside Himself, His wants, His needs for someone else. He gave us life. He gave His life that we might have life more abundant. Are we being heroic? Are we sacrificing ourselves in any way, shape, or form, so that someone else could come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Do you know how many people in this world? I've got a second, third cousin, I think, that went just in Italy. She'd never been out of the state of Arkansas. Now she's walking the streets of Italy. I remember what that feels like because the first time I went to New York City and I saw all these people, more people than I ever imagined, and they were everywhere. And did you know that most of those people did not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? They were lost in a goose. Every day when we go through our lives, there are people who need Christ. And we'll say, if a situation comes up or I might talk. But you know, I'm not equipped for that. That's really the preacher's job anyway. You are, and it's not. It is your job, and God will equip you. There are so many people today that we need to step out and sacrifice some of our time, our effort, our energy, so that they can come to know Christ. Make that effort. There are people in my life that made that effort for me. They stepped out and said things to me that I needed to hear. Or they could have said that, hey, it's none of my business. But they did. Step out. Let God enable you to be who God wants you to be in this life. And it may be to be witness to your neighbor, to your friends, your family. It may be that you want to witness to do some ministry in the church that you don't feel like you're capable of. Whatever it is that God's leading you, He will enable you. He uses the foolish and the weak. My goodness, He used me. And He will use you if you let Him. And you can be a hero to someone that God has chosen for you to touch in their life. You can be that today. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Maybe you're here today and you realize that you've never asked Him into your heart and your life. That you know today that if you were to die, you would go to hell and you would not be with Him. If you feel that way today, if you understand that today, I'm going to show you a way that you can avoid all that you can come to know Him because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary. He paid the price for your sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the price of sin, the wages of sin is death. Therefore, all of us should die. But He came in and He paid that price. And once He paid that price, He says, all who call on Me and believe and trust in Me and call upon My name, thou shalt be saved. The Holy Spirit comes into your heart and into your life and changes you on the inside. And that day that you die, God is only going to see the blood of Christ on your heart. That's the good news. And you can accept it today.